You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Erk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered a wide, wide selection of music. Apart from Dozy Do by Julie the Band, it's now 2010 and Erk comes down the pipe and into your ears. Bigger, stronger and faster. Every Friday, it's Erk FM time. Now here's your host of Erk FM from Channel Erk. Here's Erk!
G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to another interview episode of Erk FM. Erk FM is my music podcast that comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week, and interviews are at the moment coming down the pipe and into your ears on Tuesdays. This is Erk FM episode 76, and for more information, go to www.channelerk.com. We have a neighbour in the studio today, my mum Judy from Judy's Blast FM.
Hi. Hello. How you going?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
All right now.
And now we have another neighbour, not on the studio, but via Skype. We have New Zealand singer-songwriter James Kahu. Hello, James.
Kia ora, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really good, really good.
How's New Zealand treating you at the moment, all right?
Oh, at the moment it's summertime, so it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Enjoying the weather, kicking back, swimming in the pool all the time, and currently recording my debut album.
So you have been quite busy recording your debut album, and this interview was, we've been trying to get it up and done for a while, but of course a debut album comes first. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, basically what happened is, as you may or may not know, I'm a singing bass player. So being a bass player, I've played in so many bands as a bass player and then sort of in the closet really singing along and doing, you know, backing vocals. And then I decided just after a conversation one night with a vocalist friend of mine, I just thought, I'm going to give this thing a go. So I bought this tiny little recording unit and recorded about six songs, got really excited, made an EP, put it out on iTunes, and then sort of reviewed it a year later and decided that the quality was so bad I probably needed to record them again, and then this time do a proper album and a music video and that sort of thing.
And so what really inspires you when it comes to music?
Wow, that's a million-dollar question. Basically, I kind of believe music is a part of me, and what inspires me, wow. Just, I guess, wow, that's a tough question.
What about life?
Life? Yeah, basically, it's about moments. Yes. And I know that sounds really weird, but it's kind of like, in this second of this day of this time of this hour, something's going to happen to you. And I kind of wanted to write music where people would say, wow, I know what he was thinking or what he was feeling at that time.
So what genre do you come under?
Basically funk, rock, pop.
Oh, because usually country comes under that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, yeah, write a love song, bury it.
Yeah.
So yeah. When it comes down to writing down your ideas, do you just write them down as you come to it, or do you have a specific session where you'll sit down and you'll try and write songs?
No, yeah, just I have basically an iPhone with a microphone on it, and they can come to me at any stage of the night or day and any moment really, which is sometimes quite frustrating. Yeah, I've been caught quite a few times on the on the toilet going, hey, oh man, I need to record that. And then, yeah, it's been quite embarrassing. And then literally 5 minutes later, I've written a song, I've written the music for it, and I'm ready to record it. I have tried the sitting down to write a song, and I've still been writing one of those for the last 2 years. So it's definitely spontaneous. It'll be because of a certain situation or a thought, and I'll just go on that thought.
So yeah. What about if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're asleep? Do you get a really great idea? Do you wake up and get your iPhone out and record it, or?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, literally write it down, or because that's happened a few times, or just jump up and write down the rhythm of what I was hearing. Yeah.
So what comes first, the music or the words?
Wow. To be honest, they both do. Sometimes I'll get a melody in my head, and then sometimes I can just sit down and write a complete song within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, three verses, two choruses and a bridge, and then start thinking about what the solo can be. Sometimes just literally the melody will come into my head and I'll write it down, and then I'll go, hey, wow, that really suits that song that I wrote, you know.
But how do you go, because you said earlier that you're a bass player.
Yeah.
So I know with music, usually it's the rhythmist that designs the beat.
Yeah.
So how do you work that in? Because, you know, like usually when you're doing the tune, a lot of people that play piano, they'll design the tune with a piano or a rhythm guitar. So how do you go with that with the bass guitar, because, you know, usually the bass, you know, it's usually got the bounce, the beat.
And this is where the magic of my last name comes in.
What's that?
I play a 6-string fretless bass guitar.
Really? That's unusual.
Yeah, and so basically my name, James Kahu, James is actually my name. Kahu is the name of my bass. And I ended up doing some shows around the USA in 2008, and basically I called myself James and Kahu being, which was basically James and his bass.
Yeah.
And of course, going around the States, the Americans don't understand anything.
careful, a lot of our listeners are American.
Yeah, definitely, and that's right, and iTunes is very good to me. Basically, people were like, oh, who's Kahu? Is that like your singer or something? And I just got really frustrated and like, no, it's my bass.
Yeah.
And sort of got home and thought, man, this is too confusing.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I dropped the and then it became James Kahu. And Kahu in Māori simply means peace.
Oh, right.
So I sat down with a friend of mine about 10 years ago and we built this bass, because I'm left-handed as well.
Oh, so Zerk.
I wanted something really freaky, so we said, hey, what are we going to do? Let's make a bass, right? Mm-hmm. 4 strings? No. 6 strings? Fretted? No. Fretless.
You'll have to take a photo and put it up on Facebook, because that is very, very unusual. And especially if it's left. I'm right-handed. I love the bass, and I always wanted to learn to play the bass. But I had a partner that used to play lead guitar. He played with a Fender, and I always wanted to learn the bass, but the simple fact was playing left-handed, to me they were playing upside down, and so a friend offered me his left-hand guitar, bass guitar, and but I never went through with it, because I tried to learn to play the lead guitar, but it was all upside down because it was right-handed.
Right,
yeah. So, but I've the only other person I know that plays and writes their own music as a bass player, have you ever heard, is Kelly Ritchie from America.
Oh, yeah.
She plays blues, but she plays bass.
Right.
And, no, she plays lead, sorry. I'm thinking of Susie Quadro. I get them mixed up because they're both so good. But it's very unusual for a bass player to do the, well, the beat of the music, as you know, being a bass player, the bass player keeps that thump, 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 like a drummer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely.
But your rhythm guitarist, they make the rhythm. That's the purpose, that's why it's called rhythm. So, I, you know, you've got me sort of bamboozled.
All right.
So because of you make being the bass, but you've got to make the rhythm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So kind of when I write a song, depending, if I write it to a bass line, so then I'll do just that. But because I have a six string, I can go up into guitar register.
So you can do like a walking bass beat.
Yeah, so I pretty much play it in a chordal way.
Really? I'm surprised. I've never heard of a six string bass guitar.
Yeah, and because it's fretless, I use harmonics quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can create chords that way. So it's quite a different approach.
Yeah.
And then sort of later on, and once it gets down to the studio, I can sort of put my ideas down.
Yeah.
And then sort of I've got this little 8-track recorder, and then I'll basically I'll put down a bass line, then I'll put down a guitar line played on the bass.
So you can play like rhythm runs as well.
Yeah. But all just with my fingers, and normally, rather than sort of with a guitar where you need sort of four notes to make a good sound, with the bass, because of the tonality and being fretless, I can just play 2-note chords, 3-note chords and get away with it.
Mm. Tell us. Sorry, mate, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah. And then once I get into the studio, I can sort of say to my guitarist, hey, I was kind of hinting at that idea, and that's sort of where he lays it down.
Mm-hmm. So tell us the story, James, about how you got into the guitar in the first place. It's a very interesting story.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Basically, when I was 16, 15, I guess, I joined high school, and I used to be a drummer, and I was very, very average drummer, but just enjoyed the drums in general. And then once I got there was kind of 40 other drummers, and they said, oh, well, that position's kind of filled. How would you like
to... Wonder why.
Yeah, how would you like to play the bass? And I thought, I didn't even know what a bass was. You know, I knew Stand By Me and the low notes of a keyboard because I played classical piano for a little while. And so I took home, as you were saying before about being right-handed, I took home this right-handed bass, and for the next sort of 3 months I mastered it, playing it all upside down. And then a great bass, my first bass tutor came along, and he sort of said, you know, what are you doing, mate? And then we went out that day and bought a left-hand bass. And then just being in love with melodies, and I remember sitting down, you know, being 15 and pulling out Pearl Jam's album and basically starting to solo already with the bass.
So what was your main influence when you first started with bass?
Oh, my gosh. It would probably have to be people like Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yay!
just cats like that, that were just awe-inspiring, that, you know, did things that, you know, you're not really supposed to do on the bass, but you can get away with it. And then it's and it kind of progressed from there, and then after I finished school, I went to jazz school, and then being left-handed, being in jazz school and being left-handed, my tutor sat me down and said, look, James, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to double bass, or are you going to stay on these, or are you going to go to six string? And I thought, wow, yeah, that's me, six string.
So now is a great time to hear you in action. Why don't we start with the song that I've played before on Oak FM called Sleep. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Wow. Okay, now Sleep is a very heartfelt song for me. I wrote it for my fiance, and who lives a corporate life. And she was kind of basically doing sort of, you know, the 14, 15-hour days kind of thing, just coming home and being very tired, as you do in the corporate world. And then I kind of wrote that song for her to kind of sort of say, you know, now your day is over, now it's time to rest. But also at the same time, my grandpa passed away. And then I sort of started looking at it as in sort of like a almost like a life meaning, which is basically we are all going to work in life and we are all eventually going to pass away, but you kind of need to make time to relax for yourself. And, yeah, it's kind of – and that's when I did the video for it, I kind of had that in mind. It basically starts off with a girl in a car. She sends a text message to her partner and she's in a car crash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically about her life that she just works all the time and basically eventually in the end of the video she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like that's what I'm looking for. It's the eternal sleep that I was sort of hinting at.
Very interesting.
So here it is now, Sleep by James Carhu here on IRC FM.
The days for you are so long, and everyone wants a piece of you. I know you give them everything, as much as you can do. Every day is work, you know you work so hard. But now I'm asking you to sleep. Lay your body down to rest and sleep. Oh, sleep. Oh, sleep. Lay your head upon my chest. Give up all your dreams just to pay the bills. Well, life's really not that hard, but for you it kills. I promise that it won't go on forever and a day. Now I'm asking you to sleep. Lay your body down to rest and sleep. Oh, sleep. Oh, sleep. Come lay your head upon my chest.
You're listening to IRC FM, and in the studio we have my mum Judy, who co-hosts shows and also hosts shows on Channel IRC with Judy's Blast FM. And from New Zealand we have James Carhu, and the song that you just heard there was called Sleep. It's a very touching and a very moving song, as you heard on the explanation by James a bit earlier. You can also see that particular video on the IRC FM website in the video section, so I suggest that you do that as well. So, James, tell us a little bit about music in New Zealand from your point of view.
Wow, yeah. New Zealand music really has taken off, just, you know, just, I would say sort of the last 10 years. It really, we still had the greats like, you know, the ones you stole from Crowded House and basically New Zealand music really wasn't taken, it wasn't taken very seriously, I guess, but with all the new sort of technologies like the internet and things like that, New Zealand music has really taken off. There's been some phenomenal young bands coming straight out of high school and just dominating Europe and places like that.
Can I ask you something about the New Zealand Maori? A friend of ours over in Boise in America, she brought a show out last week, and it was fantastic. It was a New Zealand group, and they were singing in their native language, and, oh, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now. Have you yourself thought about doing a song in your own native tongue?
Yes, I have, actually. It's a... Yeah, definitely. It does become, basically here in New Zealand, if you saw, you know, it's kind of, you put that on to say, this is what I'm about, this is who I'm from.
Yeah.
If you kind of get my thing, like I've thought a couple of times of doing that, but because I've had to look at my music, especially being a bass player, as a more of a commercial sort of a aspect of who's going to listen to it, who's going to want to buy it.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be surprised that it is very, very popular in other places besides New Zealand, and you want to cater for everybody, you know, to buy your music.
Yeah.
Now, I myself, personally, as Irk said, I do my music podcast. Now, I did a show with the Top Twins, and I picked out one show where I put them doing the start, and in between I put the songs they sang in their native tongue. And do you know what? I got a lot of responses about it, because people that normally don't listen to that sort of, like, they're not into country, but they loved the songs that they sang in their own native tongue, and the show became a very big hit, and it actually converted people over, saying, well, there's more to country music than just singing country. So, and a couple of their songs that they do sing are actually, they start in Maori, then they sing in English or Kiwi, whatever you want to call it. And then they go back and they do like the verse in Maori again, and they sort of go from one to the other. So you don't know what they're singing, but it's just the way that they sing it. So maybe it's a little thing that you could look at as well in thinking about a song. I don't think it's got anything to do with your bass. I think it's to do with the words.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you could sort of like do a song, and you could even start off singing it in like English. I suppose you call it English, don't you?
Yeah.
And then sort of, even if you put the melody or that in your, it, sort of try and translate it in your tongue, and then put back into English again. And I'm sure, I reckon you'd get a bit of a hit there. And I'm just sort of, this is my own little psychic. It's a thought for you to think about for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to incorporate something in when I do my live shows. You know, it's definitely, it's definitely a big part of me, especially being New Zealand Māori.
Yeah.
And, for my live shows, I'm definitely going to do something so people can kind of see another side of me that's not just this guy who sings and plays, plays a freaky looking instrument. it's definitely a huge part of who I am as a person, and and yeah, significant, you know, what's the word, you know, explains New Zealand as a people, as a culture.
That's right.
Definitely. I'm not too sure I would put it on an album.
Just sneak one in wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, no, I'll probably rock out. I'll probably rock out in a live show and do a haka and then,
yeah,
you know.
But that's it. But they're all real popular. I mean, even when we have our own football matches over here and the Kiwis come over, I mean, when the guys get out there and they do the haka and everything, it's you know, it really brings the crowd in. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you want people to join in and with your singing and everything. And I know, like I say about the Top Twins, but they're my favourite New Zealand group. And when they came out over here to Australia, I went to a couple of their shows, and you would not be surprised that I would say that 70% of the audience were from New Zealand. And when they started singing their Kiwi songs, oh, the audience are singing away. And I think, what are they singing? I wouldn't have a clue what they were saying, but it was beautiful. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, Australian people do love listening to Kiwi music.
You know, as much as we joke about, you know, the whole Australia-New Zealand thing, you know, we really do love the people on the right-hand side of us.
That's right.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, you're our big sister.
Big sister. I know about that. We're all equal.
You know, the 7th and 8th state of Australia, maybe?
Yeah, true.
You could be like Tasmania, got broken off somewhere and you drifted apart.
Yep, that's right. If only we could have the weather and the money would be great.
Oh, the weather's pretty similar, I think. But you get snow, we don't, only in some parts.
Yeah, just some parts. Yeah.
So have you ever thought about, or have you ever gone outside of New Zealand with your music? Is that on the agenda?
Yeah, definitely. I took basically a year off. I signed on a manager, and our goal basically was to get a song on the radio, on major radio here in New Zealand, and a video. And on the 22nd of December last year, we signed a contract for 4 videos and 4 singles. So I'm just, that first song you played of mine, Sleep, will be playing here very, very shortly on radio, on major radio, and the video will be playing on TV. So I thought start small, but definitely I wanted to tour Europe and the US with, you know, would be my ultimate goal to crack into those countries and just basically never turn down an opportunity, which I haven't done, or never, you know, I've always followed up on contacts, that sort of thing. I sort of took this on about 3 years ago and went, right, I'm just going to go in it as much as I can. And basically I thought the only answer I can get would be people going, oh, nah, sorry, not at this time, mate. Or what I have been getting, which is, no, sorry, not at this time, but if you give this person a call or an email, and then I've literally just sat down at the computer and gone, right, okay, done, and I'll send them an email, and it's, yeah, basically just gone from one person to another, and it's brought me to it's going to be a very interesting year for me this year, very interesting.
What about that big island to the left? Have you thought about going there as well?
Oh, definitely. Yep, fantastic, yep.
Word of mouth is the best advertising you can get.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I'd love to do a tour around Australia. Oh, my gosh, it'd be fantastic.
There's a few agents around here.
Yeah, definitely. I actually had been talking to, is it Vanessa Amorosi or something?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to her management team, actually, not so long ago. And I sort of thought, well, I'd really like to get myself together, get the album done, get the single on radio, and then kind of start looking at the big hitters, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm kind of lucky that once Sleep comes out, I'll have the backing of Universal. They're doing my distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And so through them, I'm kind of hoping, you know, it'll lead into something major. But, you know, slowly but surely.
It sounds really good because, like many of the people that we speak to, at the moment you have to fit it around a day job, but who knows, the way that it's sounding, you may be able to do this full time.
Definitely. It's pretty much what I want to do. Yeah, like I said, you basically have to do a day job to get backing. I also work, of course, I'm a bass player, so I work every Friday, Saturday night at a very, very packed Irish bar right in the Viaduct Basin.
Irish. Here in,
called Danny Doolan's. And we get roughly 1,600-1,700 people through the door a night, so it's definitely good opportunities to be for exposure.
Oh, it's a good place, yeah.
Tell us about an Irish bar in New Zealand. Are they like the Irish bars in Australia?
Completely packed, hot and sweaty, yeah.
And do you drink Guinness?
I'm not a big Guinness fan myself. I'd say cigars would be my poison if I chose anything.
Oh, yuck.
So how do you mentally and physically prepare for a performance?
To be honest, I actually, that's quite funny you should ask me that. Physically, normally I'll have a very strong cup of coffee. And then because it's kind of rock, upbeat music, I normally have a CD or chuck on the iPod in the car of sort of songs to prepare me. I can listen to certain albums and then end up playing in that style all night, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you're psyching yourself up.
Yeah, I watched this phenomenal, I think it was Stevie Wonder's latest live DVD, and I played that before I went to a gig, and I had that frame of mind all night, and it was kind of good for about sort of 40% of the music, but the other 40% was rock, so it's kind of like, yeah, I listen to that type of music, get myself in that style, and then, basically just fire it up.
No, that sounds really, really good. So tell us a bit about performing live. What does performing live mean to you?
Well, it's just basically showing me as a person, as a musician. It's just another flavour, really, to slip into this whole big music pot, which is just saying, here I am, I'm a singer bass player, I play a freaky looking bass, I'm left handed, and I've got a couple of things I'd like to say, kind of thing. And it's, of course, for me, it's, I'm the songwriter, I'm the arranger, I'm the composer, so for me it's quite a buzz playing my own songs to people.
Do you find when you play your own stuff you get a good reaction?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
A lot of guys, when they've got their own music, from my own experiences from the past, they get up there, say at a pub, for example, or a club, and all they want to do is bash out their own songs that they've wrote to get people to know them and want them. But then when they first start, because you don't know that song, you're sort of thinking, I don't want to hear that, I don't know it. So they want to hear songs that they know, that they can relate to.
You want to hear things like your Stairway to Heaven and your Free Birds and all that sort of
but then once,
stuff that people
but
know.
Once you go, like you said, you work at this Irish place a fair bit. So you must have a regular following of people that come there that are getting to know your music. And do you get requests?
Basically it's like that. I'm building a really big fan base there.
Yeah.
But because I'm just the bass player in that situation, and I'll maybe once a night I'll sort of get a chance to sing a song, but it'll be a cover song.
Yeah.
People will definitely come up going, wow, you've got such an amazing voice.
Yeah.
And I'll go, take my card, check out my website, go to iTunes, buy my music if you like it. And then generally, they'll be back the following week and they'll go, oh my gosh, you've got to check out this bass player. I checked out his website and it's just incredible.
So what about the band that you work with? How many's in the band?
Yeah, we're a four-piece, so we're guitar, bass, drums and singer.
Right.
But, of course, here in New Zealand, the biggest thing, which I really love to hate, is the rugby, because New Zealand mentality is not, hey, let's go out and watch a band. It's, let's go out and watch the rugby.
Yeah.
So in that retrospect, unless your band is well-known because you've got a song on the radio, if there's a band in a bar, it's kind of a bonus.
Yeah.
So it's, and especially the bar I play, because it's in the Viaduct Basin, which is like, it's a, the tourist hub central, you can get so many nationalities of people in there that are just there because they know it's an Irish bar and it's going to be packed.
Mm.
And once they hear the band, they kind of get quite interested in the music. And because my bass is custom made, I have a, basically I have a, what's called a moko, which is a traditional Māori tattoo carved into the entire bass. I get a lot of people approaching me because of that. They're like, wow, what is that bass you're playing? You know, what is that? The design is just incredible. You know, and so I can sort of, I get known like that.
Yeah, well, so, a good instrument is a draw card. It's same as a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Or Sheila.
It pretty much is. It's, you know, it's 90% visual, as they say, 10% music. But because my song is about to hit the radio, it's going to be quite an interesting situation down there, because, you see, New Zealanders love to own New Zealanders, you know, and they rock into a bar and then, oh my gosh, here's the, oh my, that's that guy off the TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's like, very relaxed, very cool, but they know you.
Yeah.
So I was kind of telling the boys, hey, you know, you better start learning my songs, because pretty soon people are going to start coming up going, what's...
They might be not, working for you.
Yeah, it's not going to be Brown Eyed Girl anymore. It's going to be James Coe's Sleet, you know. Yeah, which, what, and honestly, I can't wait for that day.
Yeah.
It'll be, yeah, it'll be interesting to know that, oh, wow, this is finally taking off and it's going the way I want.
Mm-hmm.
How do Kiwis treat their, you know, their big name rock stars? Do they sort of hang off them, or are they a bit back offish, or do they just go up to them and say, hey bro, how you going?
Yeah. there's two attitudes, basically. Anybody in New Zealand is approachable. Anybody. You're never a superstar until you're mentioned in the US or England or something like that. You know, you're just a typical New Zealander.
What about Australia?
Anybody is approachable, even people on TV. You'll get people just rocking up going, hey, how's it going? You know, loving that show kind of thing. On the other hand, because it is such a small country, there's a terrible sense of tall poppy syndrome, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I understand what you mean there.
Which is kind of like, it's, I've experienced it just being a bass player and going, hey, I'm doing my own thing. And people are like, oh, yeah, good luck with that, mate. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, guys, wow, check out the radio. My song's coming on my video. Then it's like, oh, what a, you know, it's kind of, people are very jealous, quite standoffish. And just even because the music scene is really so small, everybody does know everybody. It's kind of, you do support your friends, but, those, you know, there are those that just really want to cut you down because you're just a bass player. And, it's kind of, for me, it's just like I just take it in my stride and I think, I've got something to offer the world. I'm just going to go and do it.
Do you know one word you should drop saying all the time? Just. What? Just a bass player. Just this. Just that. I was told once years ago, they used to say, you know, about me, and I used to say, I'm just a secretary. Or what? And they say, just is the wrong word. You are a secretary. And I noticed that with you, all the way through, it's always, I'm just a bass player. I'm just a singer. You need to drop the word just and build your pride and confidence up and say, I am a bass player. I am a singer.
Not just, I'm just a Kiwi.
And I'm not just a Kiwi. I'm proud to be a Kiwi.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm... I'm breaking rules of how it goes, and I've decided, you know, it's all in good faith. I'm still, you know, I'll always be the person I'll be, no matter what level this, you know, this gets to. Yeah, I'll always definitely be a proud New Zealander and doing my thing, and it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, I hope you enjoy it, because I enjoy doing it. And I've just always had that, yeah, always had that attitude, which is, I'm doing something different, I've got something to share, and I think you should come, now's the time for you to come and listen to what I'm up to, yeah.
So let's go for another song. This song is called Everything. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Everything?
Wow. Everything is a song, basically a universal song that I wrote, which can be about anything, really. Anybody who is in love or infatuated with anything. My video is going to be hilarious. I've thought of different scenarios that I can have. I wanted to put out something that was in the kind of funk pop genre. I sat down with a producer and we came up with the arrangement for Everything, and then of course you've got a crazy little bass solo there in the middle, and it's a great song. I put in some alternate changes. I like I was saying, I'm jazz trained, so I put in some alternate changes rather than sort of a typical song, which is normally great, which is, you know, G, C, and D. I would have put in a G, a B minor, a C sharp 7, and an F sharp, you know, just for an altered turnaround or something. Just so it's not just a regular pop song, but it's a very well thought out sort of piece of music.
So let's hear it now. Everything.
We're out again. People always stare at you. You don't care. It's times like these you always know that I don't care. They can feel the fire glow. It's true, won't live without you anymore.
Chains of you. You
That was Everything by James Kahu, our special guest in New Zealand, and special guest in the studio, Judy from Judy's Blast FM. Now, I'm going to ask you a really stupid New Zealand question that I haven't really thought to ask any of the other Kiwis that I know. Is there a difference in the accents between the North Island and the South Island?
Yes, actually, there is. Parts of the South Island, the very bottom part of the South Island, it's a very rural part of the world. A lot of farmland. The weather is of extremes down the bottom. You can get like 35 in the summer and negative 35 in the winter. And you'll get the New Zealand R will be kind of rolled, whereas we'd say the first of the third, you'd get down south the first of the third kind of thing. A definite rural kind of accent, yeah.
Now, the Kiwi accent's a really interesting one because we actually get a fair bit of Kiwi TV with various, especially the reality type shows. They love showing the Kiwi reality shows, like the Kiwi version of Border Security. There's a Kiwi police show that I really love called Police 10-7.
That's good. Yep.
And also the Motorway Patrol version of that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Americanization of New Zealand? I watch those shows and there's a lot of kids there who sort of act like they're in LA or the back of the Bronx somewhere, but they're in downtown Auckland. Have you noticed that?
Oh, definitely. There's a huge American influence in New Zealand. Of course, America is all over the TV. It's all over the radio. And definitely, yeah, you're right. A lot of the kids kind of use American slang quite a bit. And, coming to the whole gang sort of situation, people are kind of trying to be kind of gangster hip-hop kind of rap stars kind of thing, even to the point where you'll even notice the cars have changed to look like American cars. People lower their cars and put on this and that, and then especially the American car influence has now started to come into New Zealand.
I noticed, I watch a lot of pay TV because on our free channels here there's nothing but repeats. And they've got a new show from New Zealand and it's on the Crime Channel. And
right.
It's actually New Zealand being overtaken by gangs.
Yeah.
So they're sort of like you see it in America, but this show is all about the gangs that they've got in New Zealand. I actually was watching a show last night, and it's called 48 Hours, and it was actually this sort of like the gangs that the different, like the Reds and the Blues or whatever they call themselves in New Zealand, which sort of amused me because, you sort of think, they don't have them there, they're only in America.
Yeah,
but it seems to be going, like you said, America influence. It's going, I mean, Australia's the same. We get a lot of American influence here too. I think that's just part of the way of life, you know. So, but I also watch a show, well, I don't watch it, I listen through Podsafe, and it's a show from New Zealand, and I love it. And it comes out, and it's called Spectrum. And it's this guy over in New Zealand, and he goes around to all the little Maori islands over there, and it's all things that to do with the Kiwi tradition of, like, making different, you know, the jacket things that they wear and make them out of feathers and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I love listening to the interviews because it's really, really interesting, you know, all the different type of, like, ones that, you know, it could be a Kiwi band, marching band, or, you know, and it's all the traditional, like, sort of things that go on. And I mean, there's not enough of it shown or played, you know, so I enjoy that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's pretty good.
One thing that I have noticed as well in New Zealand, watching from over here, is that there are a variety of global brands that are sort of heading into New Zealand, but to really sell them to Kiwis, you really have to Kiwi-itize up. Does that make any sense?
Definitely. Yeah, we do Kiwi everything up.
Do you get Vegemite?
Vegemite and Marmite, yep.
All right.
Yep, fantastic.
That's a thing with us. Vegemite's a big thing. When Irk toured America last year, he took a little jar of Vegemite and it sort of took off as a bit of a tradition thing with us, with the Americans, you know, because they don't have Vegemite in America.
I really love the Smith chips that you get there in Australia.
All right.
We don't get those here.
Yeah?
Really?
No.
Do you get tinned hams?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because America don't have Tim Tams either.
Yeah.
So, and what about words? Do you have different sayings to us for different...
Kiwi slang.
Yeah.
We have a lot of sweet as. If something is really...
Nice.
No. If something is really good.
Yeah, nice, good,
or like,
yeah.
Kind of like, oh, is it all right if I come round to your house on Friday and pick up da-da-da? And somebody go, yeah, sweet as.
Yeah, in other words, good, yeah, okay,
yeah. Or just simply sweet, which can be used for yes, good, great, that sort of thing. The classic one would be sweet as, bro, which is like, yep, no worries, mate.
Whereas bro in Australia, usually the, you know, like Aboriginals use bro.
Right.
Hey, bro. Yep. How you going, bro?
Yeah, it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same here. And another classic Kiwi word is choice.
Choice, and, bro.
Yeah, like choice.
Choice.
Because people, you'll see tourists walking around New Zealand with sweet ass bro on their shirt, and you're like, yeah, tourist.
Yeah.
Well, this is a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Are the Aussies really easy to spot over in New Zealand?
To spot, to hear? Yes. Yeah.
What, the accent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, what if they don't talk, you wouldn't know?
Aussies in New Zealand are like Americans anywhere in the world. Yeah. But, you know, we've always got that rapport with Aussies. Which is a real, you know, like I was saying, a real brother sister relationship, which is, and you always get on really well. Mm. They're always loud, obnoxious. But it's probably like New Zealanders when we go everywhere, we're just plain crazy. Mm.
Yeah, when I was in the United States, a few people confused me with a New Zealander, and that was fine because I was glad that they actually knew somewhere under the equator.
Well, when I was in the States, they were like, oh yeah, is that part of what state is that? New Zealand? Yeah, that's down by Chicago, right?
Wow.
Right.
So whereabouts in the States did you go?
Oh, well, I spent mainly most of my time on the West Coast, LA, Palm Springs. Took a trip up to Michigan, and I kind of went over there on a whim and did some, and then up to San Francisco, of course, and then did a couple of shows, and it got to be the point where I was like, yeah, man, oh, where are you from, man? I'm like, oh, I'm from New Zealand. And then it became, hey, yeah, man, where are you from? I'm from New Zealand. You know where that is? And, you know, of course, a lot of people thought I was from South Africa or New England or...
Tonga?
Yeah,
Tonga?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Is it cold down there? You guys, like, must be freezing, right? Like, oh my gosh.
Do you know what I get? I chat, you know, because of the show, I've, you know, got quite a few American friends, and they all say, is it snowing there?
Oh, right, yeah.
They don't understand that where we live, there's no snow. It's a big talk thing at the moment because they're getting all snowed out and we're getting all heated out. So it's a bit of a standard joke backwards and forwards. You know, you send me some snow and I'll send you some heat, you know.
Yeah, or some sand.
Yeah.
It would have been a big culture shock for you to go over to the States, I presume.
Yeah, it was. It really was. I wrote a couple of songs over there. One that I'm actually going to release at the end of this year. It'll be my third video that I release around winter. And it was basically, it was quite a bit of a sad song, really. I just kind of felt alone in this massive place where everything goes at a million miles an hour and you can easily, you know, all your dreams can be made true or your dreams can be shattered, you know. Just being there, promoting myself as a musician, everybody was really interested in what I did and wanted to buy three of them and they just wanted to hear me talk. Just literally from having a different accent. But, definitely culture shock. The general size of everything. People, food, cars, just size of the road. Just everything. Malls, how one person can live in the, you know, in a 5-block radius and never have to leave that 5-block radius because they've got everything there. The general knowledge of the States or the rest of the world was just appalling, really, you know. People didn't know where other countries were or if there were those countries it was kind of a big, scary place. But I loved it.
Did people have trouble understanding your accent? Did you have to...
Yeah, I remember once I went to a karaoke bar and I sang this American song. And some guy from down the back was like, "Hey, you're going to have to repeat what you said. Slow down." So I ended up just trying to speak in my worst American accent. And then they all got my jokes as well and started laughing. I think because New Zealanders in general, we speak incredibly fast. And we use a lot of slang in our sentences. And people are like, "What? Hey? Slow down, guy. What? What are you talking about?" You know, and it's all part of the fun, really.
It got to me at some stages there that people that I was with, Americans that I was with, had to translate for me.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cock. More cock.
Yeah.
So in that situation, I was told basically, order Pepsi. Don't order Coke because they thought it was something totally different.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yep, and you'll ask for the small and you'll get a litre.
Yes, exactly right. So we've got one more song. Why don't you tell us a bit about Surf Love Drunk?
Wow, I wrote a song called Love Drunk, and it was about a fascination about women. Being in a bar, seeing a woman walk past and just going, "Oh my gosh," and then kind of realizing that it's your girlfriend or your fiance or your wife. And then a friend of mine, my cousin, is part of a surfing federation down in Palmerston North, which is kind of central North Island. And he's got the women's pro surfing tour is happening there in April. And he asked me if I could write a song for it to be part of the, part of the promotion. And so I sort of took the ball and ran with it and sort of changed my song Surf Love Drunk to being about being surf love drunk. And basically about empowering women as surfers. And so I actually managed to get hold of Paige Harrod, who is number 8 in the world for surfing. And she's a New Zealander and she's agreed to be in my music video for it, which is going to be phenomenal. And so it's basically about a person being in the water and seeing this amazing female surfer going past them and just, literally being love drunk about surfing. Yeah.
And here it is.
Wish I could not see you when you pass by me, here flowing down your back. So sexy way you move your board puts me to shame. Yes, I saw that wave that you just went and shred to bits. I'm surf love drunk soul, surf love drunk. I'm surf love drunk soul, surf love drunk. Does this mean that if I watched you surf too much, would I simply disappear or just fade? I can't believe this woman and all she's got, carving up that wave, girl. Oh, it's so hot. I'm surf love drunk soul, surf love drunk. I'm surf love drunk soul, surf love drunk.
Listening to IRC FM. And to finish off, James, you've mentioned a few times music videos. A lot of the artists that I've spoken with so far haven't really got into the music video scene yet. Tell us a little bit about the process of making a music video.
Wow, yeah. Oh my gosh. What happened basically is I got together with a friend of mine who's a director. And I told him, I've got this song. And I told him what it was about. And then he took it away and listened to it. And then he came up with the video that it is, with suggestions from myself. I kind of wanted the idea of a couple that are, I'm talking about sleep. So if I use sleep for an example, I wrote down some ideas of what I'd like to see in it, what I'd like it to mean. And he sort of took the ball again and ran with it, and he listened to the song a few times and came back with some ideas of his own. So then it became a question of course, when it comes to doing videos, it can be so expensive, but of course, once you start out, I basically begged, borrowed, and stole bits of equipment that I needed. I had a friend that had a phenomenal camera, so we borrowed that. And, of course, I used the bar that I work in, and I used my parents' house, and I used the local park, and then my manager knew of some actors and actresses, and so we used an actress, and then we used her boyfriend, and basically we did the whole video in one weekend. And, of course, yeah, I also used the hospital, which I work at, for the hospital scene. And, it takes you back. I was very nervous in it. Of course, being a bass player, you're always standing out the back. Now I'm a singer. I'm the front man. I was very nervous in the video to look at the camera. And I've done a bit of extra work for various TV programs here in New Zealand. And of course, you're always told, never look at the camera, never look at the camera. But then after doing the video, I realized I never look at the camera, so people don't really get to feel like I'm singing them the song personally. In the video, I kind of made it look like I'm singing this, singing about a story about this couple. And then, of course, the video represents the couple and everything that happened. And then basically it came down to the videoing and then the editing, which is the $1 million job, which takes the longest, about what you want in there, what looks good, looking through it again, making changes. But it's a very exciting process because then it's basically the next step of bringing your song alive. You know, there's kind of three stages, which is having your song in your head, then recording it so other people can hear, and then going the next step, which is basically making a video about it.
It's very interesting when you say about things like looking at the camera, because so many music video clips don't feature the band at all. Mm. You know, it's basically like a story with your song playing in the background.
Yeah, I know, and it's interesting when you say that, because when you think of a music video, you know, sort of 9 times out of 10, you're not really going to just get the bass player, the drummer, the singer, and the guitarist rocking out, singing the song, because then the video starts getting a bit bored. So I guess it's kind of why, well, to me, kind of it seems that music videos are becoming kind of little stories, little movies.
Mini movies.
Yeah, 3 to 4 minute movies.
Yeah.
Just to capture the person's attention. But then, for me, it's kind of like, if your video is bad, people aren't going to listen, or your video is really good, people don't remember your song.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, oh man, that girl in it was really hot, yeah. Or wow, that was really out of it.
Yeah.
You know, wow, that girl in his video has gone and killed herself. Oh, my gosh. Or if your song's really bad, people will just turn it over straight away because the song's really bad and the video's really good. So it really is just a balance about finding the right video for that song.
Yeah.
If it's too much, people are going to go, oh, my gosh, what just happened? If your song's really bad and your video is really good, people are going to go, oh, pity about the song, but the video is good.
Mm.
So, and then it comes down to what I think is good, to what the general public is going to think is good.
That's right.
So I might just think, I could do a whole video of me sitting there tuning my bass, because I love my bass. and then just have the weirdest song and somebody go, what was that all about? Yeah. And, it really is just one of those trial and error things. I've kind of had I've kind of lived by, I'll do everything and then I'll take the best thing.
Mm.
And it's always seemed to work out in the past, so touch wood that it continues.
So to finish up, how have you used things like the internet and social networking to spread the word?
Wow. MySpace, definitely. I put up a thing on MySpace about 3 years ago, and it's growing slowly. I've had over 16,000 profiles used, which is really good for an unknown artist. Things like, of course, email, and now you've got things. I'm not really a big fan of the whole Twitter thing, but I use Facebook.
Yes!
In a Twittery kind of a way, and I just sort of saying, going to the studio, can't wait, woo!
Yeah.
The whole Twitter thing kind of scares me because I'm still quite a private person, and I don't really want to know that I just ate a cheeseburger with fries and now I'm just going to
go and clean your teeth.
Yeah, go clean my teeth and climb into bed where my house overlooks the ocean and, you know, kind of telling personal details.
Facebook has become very, very popular. We do a lot of our Channel Lurk things on Facebook. We've got a fan website.
I've got a fan website and a personal website.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of going onto Facebook with it?
Oh, yeah. I'm currently on Facebook. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook under James Cousins.
How do you spell your surname?
I'll have to look it up right as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's K-A-H-U, James Kahu.
All right. I'll have to check you out when I get off.
You can find my website, which is currently under construction, but that's jameskahu.com or just myspace.com/JamesKahu.
You don't put NZ?
No. I wanted it to be universal.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's .com.
Yeah.
Well, James, it's been an absolute pleasure, or to use a Kiwiism, it's been pretty sweet, bro.
Oh, mean. Yeah, thank you very much.
No worries. So keep in touch, and good luck with the album coming out, and good luck with the surfing tour. Who knows? You might combine the surfing with a tour, and who knows?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd really love to play the Byron Bay Festival, so if you know anyone over there, you can drop my card in.
A bit far from us, Byron Bay.
Although that festival would... I reckon you'd be pretty good at a festival. I reckon you'd love it.
Yeah.
I'm keen for a flat deck truck and going over the Sydney Harbour Bridge. That'd be. Stop in the middle, cause a bit of a stir.
You can play your guitar on my train. That's for quite all right with me.
That's right, play naked.
Ooh!
Okay.
I don't think that'd go down well.
maybe with the ladies.
Yeah.
Anyway, James, been a pleasure, mate. Keep in touch, and it's been really good. Don't forget, IRC FM every Friday down the pipe and into your ears, and you can hear Judy's show, Judy's Blast FM, every Sunday, and who knows, we might even be hearing a bit more of James Kahu on Judy's Blast FM
definitely,
as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Judy. We haven't got another J to finish with, but it's all good.
No, the dog's, she's gone. She's had enough.
No, it's all good. So thank you for listening to IRC FM, wherever it is that I hear you, or more to the point, you hear me across Channel IRC. Good night, Interweb.
Good night, Interweb.
You have been listening to a Channel IRC production. Channel IRC and all 5 podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel IRC, go to www.channelirc.com.